السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. As most of you are aware that our speaker for today is Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Nawlaki Sahib. He is the theological director of SANHA, and at present there seems to be great confusion in the Muslim Ummah with regards to early bird and other chickens from processing plants. But that is not the subject of today's talk. Maulana is a learned person, is a scholar of deen, and we should give a hearing and a listening. And if, by the way, some mention is made of what SANHA has to say with regards to this whole controversy that is now in the press and all the pamphleteering that is going around, then that is by the way. As far as our view is concerned, that when there is such a kind of controversy or difference of opinion amongst learned scholars and ulama, then the safe route at that time is to make a decision with regards to the alim or the mufti that you wish to follow. If both sides there are scholars of repute, scholars of great knowledge, and they are differing on some technical basis, so then at that time you choose the mufti. Everybody knows how to choose a specialist, how to choose a doctor, how to choose a lawyer, how to choose a senior counsel. How do we go about it? We go about it by finding out from people that who is there that has some kind of reputation of directing in a manner that is going to be beneficial. So in the same way, here also the person has to make a choice. Then you follow that mufti of your choice, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, you will not be answerable and accountable. We can say quite clearly that this is the alim or this is the mufti that I chose for direction in life, and it was based on no other grounds except that Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. So therefore, that person will not be answerable. It will be those ulama who have given him direction that they will be answerable, provided he made the correct choice, he used his intellect, he used his intelligence. So I just had to mention these few things so that we have an open mind when we are listening to Maulana today. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala unite the hearts of the Ummah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us all nek and pious and righteous and follow the path of taqwa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya lah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana وحبيبنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. واذكروا إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم يد الله مع الجماعة، وقال ومن شذ شذ في النار، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our cherisher, our sustainer and our master. We seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our nafs, from the evil of our sins that we commit. Verily, whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can lead him astray. And verily, whomsoever Allah ta'ala leads astray, none can guide him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with innumerable bounties and favors. We cannot count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never mind in our 24-hour daily life, but in every breath we take, there are countless favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that very one split of a second. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you even make an attempt to count the favors that I have bestowed, you will not be able to do so. What is the greatest favor and the greatest bounty that can be granted to a person? The greatest favor amongst all the ni'mats and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us is the favor of iman. The favor and the bounty of this kalima la ilaha illallah. Without this, all the wealth that we have, all the pomp and glory that you may have, all the comforts of this world that you may have, but if a person doesn't have belief in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is nothing. Everything ultimately at the end of the day in terms of success or failure is dependent on this very fundamental aspect of iman. So we must express special thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as many times as we possibly can for this great ni'mah and favor of iman. Verily, if we continuously thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favors, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase and strengthen that for us as well. He says in the Quran al-Kareem, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. For any favors that I have bestowed upon you, if you continuously show gratitude, gratefulness and appreciation for that, I will increase it for you. So this is a great favor. Wallahi, in this other verse of the Quran that I just recited in the beginning, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. Remember the time when you were enemies. Look at the period prior to the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The dispute, the discord, the centuries of animosity and war amongst the various tribes. There was that level of animosity that existed. But when Iman came, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and brought along the rahmah and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it transformed that entire environment into one of peace, tranquility, love, compassion, and every other virtue. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. It was because of that iman that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought and presented to the people. And their acceptance of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created love, unity, affection between their hearts. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Then, by virtue of that favor, you became brethren. You became bosom people that would sacrifice for each other to such an extent. We know the incident of the Muhajirin and Ansar. The ramifications, we all know, whether it is within our families, whether it is within our business partnerships, whether it is between neighbors, whether it is between friends, whether it is between children and parents, the ramifications of discord, of disunity, of argument, of quarreling, we all understand what they are. They destroy the very fabric of our iman. Therefore, great emphasis has been placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various verses of the Quran towards reconciliation, towards fulfillment of the rights of each other. Discord and disunity, yes, we are human, there will be quarrels, but what are the extent and perimeters of those quarrels to continue? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem regarding this quarreling and dispute, He says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, and do not quarrel and dispute and argue. فَتَفْشَلُوا, your strength will be lost. You will become weakened. And truly, if we witness and observe and do some introspection amongst the various facets of our community, we will find, whether it's the family structure or whichever other structure, we will find that our disunity and discord has been the root cause of this ummah's retrogress, of this ummah's stagnation. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَدُ ma'al jama'ah, that in this unity and working in togetherness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, His hand of support is with the jama'ah. Another hadith, it is mentioned, وَمَنْ شَدَّ شُدَّ فِي النَّارِ, whosoever breaks away, he will be destined to the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. The importance of unity, the importance of reconciliation between brethren is also greatly emphasized in the Quran Kareem. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. There will be occasions of disagreement, but let it not become such a situation that it is perpetuated. Reconcile between your brethren. And fear Allah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy can be with you. One hadith, if we just ponder and reflect on this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, shall I not show you of such a deed that is more virtuous than salat, zakat, psalm, fasting and hajj? More virtuous than those acts which are the pillars of deen, the pillars of our religion. What is it? Islahu dhatil bayn, reconciliation between, reconciling between disputing parties. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, فَإِنَّ فَسَادَ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةِ. Because this internal dispute, quarreling, confrontation, opposition is a shaver. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that I do not say that it shaves the hair, but he says it shaves, وَلَكِنْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ. It shaves the very essence of your deen away. Reflect on these injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another hadith, yes, as I mentioned earlier, there will be occasions of dispute. There will be occasions of disagreement and quarreling. Human nature. But he says, لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَن يَهْجُرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. It is not permissible, it is haram to break those ties and to maintain that environment, that unsavory environment between brethren that are disputing more than 3 days. فَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. If that continues for over 3 days, that you don't talk to each other, you hate the very sight of each other, you sloganize against each other, you destine each other to Jahannam, you call each other by names. فَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. If you break ties for more than 3 days, فَمَاتَ, and you die, Allah forbid, in that condition, دَخَلَ النَّارِ. Then Jahannam is your place that you will enter. Islam brought people together, created closeness, togetherness, compassion and mercy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's very coming is mentioned in the Quran as wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. He came as a mercy unto mankind. The incident of Taif is known. The incident of Uhud is known, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, notwithstanding the fact that he lost 70 of his companions, yet no dua was made for the destruction of people. So the compassion and mercy was unto humanity and mankind at large, not only unto the believers. It is rather regretted, really, that today we look for occasions and look for reasons that we can dispute with each other. We can create some basis of creating confrontation and opposition with each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and give us the tawfiq. I was asked by a few of the colleagues that perhaps because of this confusion, and as Maulana said, by the way, we should raise it. We 40 pe khatam karna hai. The allegations that are made, Allah is witness, I'm standing in the house of Allah, that it is baseless. 180 birds are slaughtered per minute. Initially it started off with early bird and 48 chickens, which is impossible for the people to slaughter, and it was Sanha's supervisors resigned. Firstly, it wasn't even a Sanha certified plant. Then the entire focus came on to the rainbow plant, and that 180 birds are slaughtered in a minute. There are 35% of the birds that die before slaughter. Three birds have to be slaughtered per second. Alhamdulillah, elders like Mawlana Yunus Patel, Sabdaun Barakatuhum, may Allah prolong his lifespan, had also the opportunity of supervising this plant under his leadership of the Jamiat for many, many, many years. And they are fully aware. And these things that are coming out now also came out and were raised by this group during their period. It is regretted. We can assure you that Alhamdulillah, the ulama that are represented from all over the country are members of Sanha. And that shukr to Allah, and we are grateful to Allah that these controls are looked at. The process of stunning is looked at. It does not kill the birds before it reaches the slaughter area. Slaughterers are comfortably be able to recite the tasmiyah. If you obviously have incited some employees, and that happens in any situation, if you incite employees to say, is your wages sufficient, are you happy enough, but it's impossible for you to slaughter. If you incite these type of things in any environment, you're going to get negatives that come out. But Alhamdulillah, we can assure you from the part of Sanha, and ultimately the decision and choice is left unto the consumers to decide whether they have confidence in the statements that are issued by the organization with regards the halal status of these products. Vigorous checks and balances are in place. Supervisors employed by Sanha are stationed at the plant 24/7. Unlike what is alleged, that they go for 5 minutes on a Friday. No, they are stationed there permanently. Impromptu inspections are done by the office representatives ad hoc without notification to the plant. But we have our own employees on both shifts at the plant on an ongoing basis. We request your du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts. May He grant us the tawfiq and ability to look at the bigger picture and not allow our nafs to overtake us in any particular matter. If any situation arises out of ikhlas, out of sincerity, there will be a way out of it. But obviously, if we are hell-bent on opposition and sloganizing and causing destruction instead of constructive building, then the result will only be to the detriment of the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, assist us, and protect us. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.